6 never, ever marks the spot.
I am altering the deep. Pray I don't alter it any further.
Most of the intelligence community doesn't believe he exists. The ones that do call him the Winter Soldier.
I'm Batman.
Dracarys.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Top 5 Report, the podcast that would like to point out to everyone that May the 4th is a Jedi holiday. Some of us still have to work. My name is Drew. I'll be your host for the evening. Along with me, as always, is my brother, Peter. How are you, sir?
Here.
Good. yep. How are you? Happy Star Wars Day to everyone. It is May the 4th for everybody. At least this episode will drop on May the 4th. So happy Star Wars Day. I hope everyone's doing something Star Wars-esque and enjoying the galaxy far, far away. How are you, Peter?
Pretty good. I don't have anything too exciting going on, but I imagine I'm trying to do some sort of Star Wars related thing at the moment, or at least wear a Star Wars t-shirt. So there you go. And obviously we're recording this ahead of the fact, so that's why I left everything so vague right there. But
we are.
How have you been?
Well, my week, as always, my week's been busy, but what I think is interesting is every May the 4th, it doesn't matter what year it is, I have friends at work that are always like, hey, happy Star Wars Day. Now, I point that out because I'm always at work. I cannot tell you, and I'm not kidding this, it has been probably 20 years since the last time I've had like a May the 4th off. I have always been at work. I've always been in a position where I cannot be doing Star Wars stuff. It's been driving me nuts. Sometimes the Star Wars stuff is literally just online shopping. I get that. But like Disney Plus releases stuff for you to watch sometimes. Sometimes they're running marathons on TV. Sometimes, you know what I mean? There's always something, right? And I always feel like I never get to do Star Wars stuff on the actual Star Wars Day. But a real fan knows that the real Star Wars Day is May 25th. And if you know what I'm talking about, I'll leave it there. But yeah, so the average fan, the average moviegoer, the average fan, Star Wars Day is May 4th. So May the 4th be with you guys. But yeah, and Disney Plus has a bunch of stuff probably releasing aside from the final two episodes of Maul. That's releasing. Other than that, I'm not 100% sure. So honestly, I decided to stay in the dark and not look that up so I could turn on Disney Plus and be excited and surprised and maybe watch some cool things that I didn't know about. So
there you go. Just since you're talking about that, I will say I just looked it up. May the 4th this year is on a Monday. So it's going to be the worst day to have May the 4th. But it's still, if you do everything right, if you're meandering through life in the correct way, every day is Star Wars Day, isn't it? So that's the way you should approach things, as far as I'm concerned.
That is how you should approach it. But that being said, I normally jump to you, Peter, first, but I will say I know it's Star Wars Day, but I have not watched Maul yet. Now, where you go, oh my God, why not? I'll tell you why not, because I realized in my letting it stack, I had one more week to wait and then it was all going to be there. So I could just straight binge, which sounded like a really great idea. So if I just wait until May 4th, it'll all be there. And then I'll, you know what I mean? So my review is coming. That's the only reason I've been like, I'm like, ooh, if I just wait like a couple more days, it's all sitting there and I could just cruise through it and it'll be like watching a big movie, you know? So.
Yeah, well, you're making me not feel too bad, because I have to catch up a bit on Maul as well. Okay. So maybe next week or the week after, we'll have a more cohesive review on all that. I have time to watch a couple things, so I don't know if I should jump into those.
Oh yeah, hop right in, man. What'd you watch?
Yeah, this week it's really just a couple movies that I watched that I should have watched a long time ago, but you know, you can only fit in so many things you want to watch. So
sure.
There you go. This is a catch up week for me. But speaking of catching up, I finally did watch the 4:30 movie this week. The Kevin Smith film. So this one, I don't know why it's taken me so long to watch. Like I'm a big Kevin Smith fan, but for some reason, this one I just didn't go out of my way for. But it's actually on Pluto. So if anybody has their Pluto app, you can watch the 4:30 movie. As far as, like, I don't know if it was edited at all for time, but I don't believe it was censored. I think they
I'm talking about language,
swear words,
like,
and all that. So,
but it's that movie is, like, I think is only... I think he's, I don't remember what, he has like almost no swear words in that movie. That's why I asked you like what, how they like handled that. So.
Yeah, I think it was uncensored. I wasn't like worried too much about that, but I think there was swear words, and I think there is, the movie is overall like pretty innocent, but I do think there are, like, if you actually sat down and decided to tally it, there probably is a lot more like raunchy jokes and bad words in there than you realize.
Sure.
But no, this movie was super fun. It's a very digestible film. Like, I feel like it's one of those just like hour and a half movies. I didn't really think about this till just this moment, but I know John Hughes is a huge influence on Kevin Smith, and it does kind of have a John Hughes kind of feel to it, and not just the 80s aspects, but just the whole like storyline in general, just the sort of like guy gets a date the date with the girl to the movies, and it's kind of everything leading up to that, and the guy's, you know, going to see a movie previous to that one with his buddies, and they're going to kind of sneak in and out of movies the whole time, and there's a sort of ragtag bunch of random characters that they either conflict with or have some sort of interaction with along the way. It has like a real like cool 80s sort of John Hughes sort of feel to it. I think overall, I think my only gripe with the film is I feel like it's a little bit anticlimactic. Like, I feel like, and I know it's kind of based on, it's at least somewhat based on like real events from Kevin Smith's life. So maybe that's why that was the case. But I think in the end, I was kind of expecting there to be a little bit more conflict with, I don't know if I expected, like, you know, that you have the main character kid and the girl he's going on a date with. Maybe I thought there was going to be like, you know, a little bit more turbulence between their sort of relationship, or just like something to throw a wrench in the gears. Like, I think overall, like, there's just not as much conflict in the movie that maybe I was hoping for. But other than that, it is like a super cute, like really fun movie. I think like everybody could find enjoyment with this one, and I appreciated it quite a bit. One of my favorite parts of the movie was, this movie does something that not a lot of other movies do, but it has fake trailers in it, so that was awesome.
Yeah, it does.
And the weirdest one, of course, was the one with Kevin Smith's daughter, Harley Quinn Smith, and Jason Mewes, where his daughter plays like a basically like a nun that moonlights as a prostitute for
yeah.
And I was watching that, and it's funny, but at the same time, I'm just like, I cannot imagine like casting my daughter in this role, putting that in my movie. But I mean, I'll leave that up to Kevin Smith, I guess. But no, the whole thing's really entertaining. I also really liked the fake movies that are in this, because the whole thing is about a group of teenagers going to the movie, and there's three kind of main movies that are mentioned. One is, I think it was called Astro Blaster, which is kind of like an old school, like Flash Gordon-esque sort of science fiction movie. And then the other movie they mention is Dental School, which seems to be, just based on dialogue, Dental School is like a fictitious film, but I imagine it's kind of like an 80s gross out comedy about like college kids in dental school, you know, something similar to like your Animal House or Porky's or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
And then the third movie, the movie that the main character and the girl actually are going to go on the date to, is called Bucklick. And I cannot for the life of me figure out what Bucklick is supposed to be alluding to. Did you have any like clue into that, Drew?
No, and I haven't watched the movie in such a long time, so I actually forgot about that movie. Because okay. You see so much of Astro Blaster, because you see so yep. many scenes from that movie. And then I was all into the fake trailers too, like the Harley's trailer and stuff. That one I just couldn't stop laughing at, because I'm like, this is freaking brilliant. You know, it was like Kevin Smith going, if I were to do a Tarantino film, right?
Yeah,
I'm gonna make, you know, that's just right. So Tarantino or Robert Rodriguez or something, it's like, this is, here we go, you know. So
yeah, absolutely. It did have that sort of like grindhouse fake trailer feel. And you don't really see that a lot in movies. So that was super fun. But 4:30 movie, really cool. The last thing I'll say is the title of it, I didn't really like until watching the movie. And then I'm like, okay, now I know why this is called the 4:30 movie. And it actually works in context of the film.
All right. I didn't have a problem with it, because I feel like, did you not know that they were trying to go to the 4:30 movie?
No, I knew that that's what it was, but I don't know, for some reason, like watching the trailer and knowing that it was called the 4:30 movie, I think the name of the movie didn't seem like as creative as maybe as I wanted it to be. When I watched the movie, I'm like, okay, calling it the 4:30 movie makes sense, because the whole plot is hinged on, we got to make it to the 4:30 movie. I think the title in the context of the actual film, like, it just worked a lot better for me. So well, that was my only thing.
I remember when it was in theaters and we were trying to figure out the, when I was trying to figure out theater times, when I was like, just so I could go see it. And I was having conversations with people. I'm trying to see when I can go see the 4:30 movie. And people were like, what movie? And I'm like, 4:30 movie. And they're like, yeah, but what is it? And I'm like, it was one of the, I had a lot of fun explaining this. I'm like, you don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
Like, I'm going to go to the 7:30 showing of the 4:30
movie. Right. Exactly.
And then we're going to see Saw while we're at it. But good stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, what else did you watch?
So I have one other thing, another movie that I'm finally getting around to, but I actually finally watched Venom, The Last Dance this week.
Yeah.
Have you checked this out yet, Drew?
No, I have not. And Netflix likes to tell me that that's what I need to watch, by the way. So Netflix has actually been giving me a lot of strange requests to watch, which I found interesting. Okay. Like, is my algorithm off? Did someone search for something under my name without realizing it? Like, what's going on?
I wouldn't think that Venom The Last Dance would be too off the beaten path for you.
It's not off the beaten path for me, but there's just been some stuff I'm like, what? All right.
Yeah. Whatever.
But
but yes, this movie is on Netflix right now, so I finally got around to watching it. And the Venom movies have always been kind of, like, I love them. Like, I loved the first two, especially. Like, that first Venom movie, it was kind of like half comic book movie, half monster movie. And it also had this aspect where it was half like a dark, serious anti-hero movie, and a little bit of like some goofy comedy bits thrown in. Like, there's a little bit of that dialogue between Eddie Brock and the Venom symbiote. Some of that dialogue is pretty like goofy and pretty funny. And the second one kind of takes, you know, it carries on some of that goofiness. But at the same time, by the end of the second one, we get this badass like fight between Venom and Carnage inside of a cathedral. And it just feels like gothic and badass and dark. And the third movie has a lot more of that goofiness. And I think that's what took me off guard. The first two acts of the film almost just feel like a really goofy comedy movie. And like the goof factor was just way higher than what I was expecting. So I still liked it, but I feel like if Venom 1 and 2 are like Superman 1 and 2, like going back to the Christopher Reeves movies, Venom The Last Dance is definitely a Superman 3 or a Superman 4, where it's like a lot more goofy, a lot less grounded, a lot less serious. By the time you get to the end of the film, and I don't want to spoil anything, but the third act gets into like full out badass action, symbiote fight coolness. And once you get to the third act, it actually gets really cool. There's a lot of, especially like a lot of these symbiotes, and I'm not the best with knowing all the names of the different symbiotes, but you're going to see characters that you recognize from the comics. You're going to see characters you recognize from action figures, like brought to life on screen. You know, if you're a fan of the symbiote stuff, you're going to see that stuff. There's a lot of really cool symbiote alien battle scene stuff. I think it was just the whole movie had like a lot more goofiness than what I was expecting. So I guess that's the only thing is it's, I don't want to say it's the Thor Love and Thunder of the Venom movies, but maybe the Superman 3 of Venom movies is how I would review this one. So Drew, when you get a chance to watch it, I'll probably go more into depth, or we can go into more into depth on the details. But yeah, those are kind of the two main things I watched this week. So
cool. All right. That sounds fun. And yeah, I will eventually get to Venom, The Last Dance. All right. So what did I watch this week? I'm in the One Piece rabbit hole in the sense like I feel really bad that I feel really bad that I'm getting into it now in life. Not like I feel bad that I didn't get into it a long time ago. It's frustrating. I'm reading manga. I'm watching it. I actually rewatched season 2 of the live action because it's just so freaking good. So I got through all that and I was like, in my mental span of time, like I'll finish it. And then the last episode's of Maul will be there and I'll just been, you know what I mean? So it's kind of a buffer. I did, however, watch the very first episode of season 2 for, Your Friends and Neighbors. If you remember me talking about this show a while back, I absolutely adored this show when it released on Apple first, and the second season has dropped and first episode back. And I'm like, yes, we're right back in the world. Give me more of this. This is fantastic. I really hope you get a chance to watch this show because I know I was blowing it up for you and trying to get you to watch it before. But, dude, you need to watch Your Friends and Neighbors. It's so good. So.
I remember you talking about this one. It sounded pretty neat. So I'll keep it on the radar. I just haven't had a chance to delve into this one yet.
Yeah, keep it on the radar. And my opinion is, we all have very, very long watching lists. Try and get this one a little higher on your list. Is all I'm saying. The other thing I watched is there is a show on Netflix called Running Point. I thought I talked about this on the show a while back. It's a comedy. Kate Hudson's in it. It's Kate Hudson, several comedians that you would recognize. And I say that because like, there's a lot of people who are like, oh yeah, I know all these people. Right. Because they're like in a lot, like they're comedians that get pulled for a lot of stuff like Parks and Rec and The Office and so on and so on. But Kate Hudson's the lead. Justin Theroux plays one of her brothers in the show. But she comes from a family that owns a NBA team. And because they're owners and everything, their father was the president of the team. And when he passes away, the kids get control of the controlling interest of the team and they continue the family business of owning the team. Right. And Kate Hudson gets, she becomes president in the first season. And this is just the second season of that show. The basketball stuff is kind of like in the background, because they got to talk about the things like, hey, we got to trade this player and we're working towards playoffs and so on and so on. But ultimately it's a workplace comedy and it's fun. It's charming. It's got some really funny bits to it, but it's just kind of a really good sit. Season 2 dropped. So I watched that, and it was a lot of fun. So yeah, there you go.
Awesome.
Yeah, I don't know if that was on your radar or if you even knew about it, but
I think I'm just envying the amount of time you have to binge through things, actually, because if you rewatched One Piece season 2 while reading the manga and watching the anime and watched like 2 TV series, like that's kind of crazy, but awesome.
and you're like, what the heck? Right. Where are you finding the time? And that is a great that's a really great question. So that's between all that, that's kind of my watching and reading kind of category.
Nice.
So yeah. All right, let's jump into the news because there is a ton of it. It's almost as if CinemaCon happened again. There's not trailers. A lot of this is announcement stuff. So, Peter, since you do a lot of reacting to things, get ready to give me your reactions.
Sure.
All right. All right, so first off, I'll hit you with one that I know you're excited about. My Adventures with Superman Season 3 releases June 13th.
Yes! Yes! Awesome! Sorry, no, I was just trying to react. No, when did you say it releases, though?
June 13th.
Oh, awesome. That's actually really great. We have like a little over a month to wait. And this was one of my most anticipated movie or TV shows this year. So it's kind of cool that it's coming out so soon because I feel like I was a little bit like, we talked about this last week, the amount of time it takes usually between like animated seasons of stuff. And I didn't know if I actually could believe that this was coming out so soon. But yeah, this is awesome. This is really exciting. And I think this show is really great so far. So I'm hoping it continues with that. Like if it's just kind of like a really cool, concise sort of, I don't want to say simplified, but it is a really concise kind of fresh take on Superman. And I think that's pretty awesome from like an accessibility sort of point. So yeah, good stuff.
Yeah. Now, because you're the Superman fan on the podcast, not that I'm not, but you're bigger than I am, and you have been keeping up with this show. Do you know how many seasons they are planning?
I really have no idea.
Okay.
That's a good question. I almost feel like they released the show and they might have not known how far they were going to take it. But it's just been successful enough that they can keep churning out seasons. Okay. Within the first two seasons, there's certain things where depending on where the sort of origins, because they change up like villain origins a little bit, so like a lot of the villains have like direct ties to either LexCorp or like various like Kryptonian technology, and it's kind of like a smart way they do it because a lot of the villains are kind of tightly like appearance wise, they look similar in ways and they're kind of like tightly knit together in that way. So they might have more of an overarching plan, like keeping that in mind. But I really don't know how long this series is going to be. So,
sure. Okay. All right. On the DC front, Lanterns is going to be releasing August 16th.
Sure.
So, yeah, there we go. We got Lanterns coming. We knew that. We just didn't have a date. So, you know. Let me see. Because I'm on DC, let me just make sure. Let me be topical. People like it when you're topical. Making sure I'm not like missing something. Wow, there's a lot of news. All right. It's not DC, but it's Warner Brothers. Scooby-Doo's Netflix live action show just released its first image. Did you see this, by the way?
Yeah, I did see this one.
Of the kids kind of peeking around the door?
Yep.
It's good that they cast them young. I'm going to say that. Because it's just that they're going to be able to get a lot more out of them. So if it becomes successful, they can keep rolling with it. And they don't look young like Stranger Things young. They look young where like they're just over that puberty hump so they can roll with these kids for a little while. You know what I mean? And they're not worried about like slowing down filming for any reasons or anything like that. I found the image interesting because it really lends to the line, those meddling kids. if it wasn't for those meddling kids, where like you're like Freddie Prinze Jr., like, dude, this guy's 30. What are you talking about? You know,
sure. There was one thing missing from that photo, though, and that's Scooby Doo. Like, where's Scooby? So,
yeah,
I'm hoping we get to see more of that, you know.
Yeah, it's because the CG's not done yet, so they can't you know.
Fair. Yeah, you might be right.
Yeah. Okay. Now I think that's out of the DC Warner Brothers stuff. Yeah. All right. How about this? I'm gonna work from like the bottom up. And I say that because there were stuff released and it's like release date time stuff. So when I saw the news. Remember how we talked about Call of Duty, the movie?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So they announced they were doing a Call of Duty movie. Now, I'm not a fan of the games. doesn't really matter. You guys can get all mad at me if you want. That's fine. What I wanted to say about this is, not regardless of me being a fan of, not a fan of the games, as a military combat movie, that could be really cool. It could be good. And but it's not, but I don't know how you make Call of Duty a military action film and make it stand out from the other military action films that we've been getting in the modern combat genre.
Yeah.
Here's the catch. Well, not the catch. This is what I think is interesting. We now have filmmaker Christopher McQuarrie, who directed the Mission, the last few Mission Impossible films, along with and a possible Michael B. Jordan to star in it, is going to do a Battlefield movie.
Oh, nice.
And I have a feeling, and you know how sometimes movie studios, without realizing it, they'll release the same movie at the same time, and you'll get Armageddon and Deep Impact at the exact same time, or Stir of Echoes and Stir of Echoes and I can see Dead People Kid. Why am I the Sixth Sense? Why am I drawing a blank? Stir of Echoes and Sixth Sense released at the same time. It's that thing where you're like, and this is going to be Call of Duty and Battlefield are going to hit the theaters almost identically, and you're not going to know. And when you're talking to people, you're going to go see two different movies and not know which one each other is talking about and have a conversation, right? That yeah. They're going to bleed together, and you're like, which one did I watch? Which one am I talking about? It's crazy. Yeah. I don't
or
know.
I was just talking to so-and-so about Call of Duty, but he kept calling the movie Battlefield for some reason. I don't know why.
I know. I don't understand it. And it's not because, like, fine, do it. It's great. Draw into that area, the shooter genre. Great. But what I don't get is how does it fare? Like, when you look at a movie like Warzone or Hurt Locker or 30 Dark Zero, or like some of the modern military action films, John Krasinski, that 12 Hours, what was it called? John Krasinski did one. I forget what the title of the movie was, but like some of these like modern action films, these modern military ones, how does it stand up and how do I tell the difference? You know, that's what I'm really curious about. So we'll see when we get some trailers, you know?
Yeah, I totally agreed.
Yeah. All right. We have a John Wick spinoff coming. Kane, it's now filming. The movie is titled Kane. If you watch the John Wick films, eventually you get introduced to a character played by Donnie Yen named Kane. He is part of the John Wick assassin world, and he's blind. And he's dude, this guy's awesome. We're getting a spinoff film called Kane that's being filmed right now. I thought that was pretty cool. Did you get nice. That far out of John Wick or no?
I don't know, actually, maybe not, but okay. I'm kind of curious, why does Donnie Yen always play blind characters, though, if you think of Rogue One as well, you know?
Yes, that is a great question, but in
not
John
that
Wick...
It, there's anything wrong with that or anything, just curious.
Well, in John Wick, he gets to actually wear the sunglasses as opposed to just being a blind character, so,
sure.
There you go. We are also getting a John Wick animated prequel film.
Oh, awesome.
Which could be really cool. And I say that because if you look at some of the adult animated action stuff, that those fight scenes, those gunfights that we see in the live action could be really sweet when you put it into an animated front, you know?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think the John Wick fan base would be happy with something like this too. Like just a cool, I don't know if it's going to be more like anime looking or if they're going to go, you know, some other route, like, you know, like a Clone Wars sort of thing or what this is going to be. But I think the John Wick fan base would totally eat this up. So yeah, this is really cool.
Yeah. There was a trailer that released. I'm sorry I didn't send this to you to say, Peter, watch this. But it was the trailer for Critical Role Season 4.
Oh, Vox Machina?
Yeah, Vox Machina. Okay. The trailer dropped for that. We're gearing up for a release for Vox Machina Season 4, which will be released in June. They have been renewed for a fifth and final season. So take a look at the trailer. It looks like a lot of fun. It looks like, yeah, if you've been following Critical Role, you're getting more of the Vox Machina cartoon. So, but it looks like a lot of fun. So,
awesome. Yeah,
I think we knew about the fifth season. I just don't remember. We also got a trailer for House of the Dragon season 3. Did you spot that?
I have not seen this yet. Okay. I don't know why I didn't realize this was out already. So my bad.
That's all right. This is going to be releasing June 21st. And so we're getting we have a Game of Thrones right around the corner, but they have a trailer out for it. The trailer looks like it's pretty good. So
nice.
How about this? You know, you're walking into Game of Thrones, you know what you're getting, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see what else. Oh, here's a DC story that I skipped over. I apologize, trying to keep all the things collected. James Gunn's The Authority. Remember when they were talking about that was one of the projects that has been officially scrapped.
Oh, crazy. Okay.
And this is that thing where, like, he gave us a kind of a slate about how he wanted DC, the direction and stuff, to go when he took over as CEO. He says it didn't work in terms of the larger DCU, both in terms of story and practical concerns. Maybe someday, is all he said. You know, so, but that's that thing. This is that thing where hey, I'm coming in, I'm taking over this franchise, I'm going to throw stuff at the board and see what sticks. Right. And big picture, I think if I had to make any guesses, when you have a studio heads, not James Gunn, but I'm talking like studio execs and boards who are really focused on the money they're going to make, and they have these, and hey, we have this new DC project called The Authority. And you're going, I don't know who any of these people are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where are my marquee characters that bring in the dollars? Right. And I could make a wild accusation and say that's what actually happened.
I was totally thinking the same thing. I think this is a very young superhero universe we're dealing with. And I think they do need a little bit to just have those like recognizable characters. They need those household names because that's what's going to put butts in the seats at the box office. So as much as we would love to see an Authority movie, I think that I think it really probably does come down to that. And I mean, in hindsight, you gotta remember, like, we're lucky we got a Creature Commandos animated series. You know, we've already gotten some pretty obscure stuff from this James Gunn universe, so I can totally see how, like, we might need some more, like, household name superheroes to make an appearance first before we get to the Authority movie, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I do fear that one of the reasons the Authority, just on paper, I fear that one of the things they compared it to without realizing it they were comparing it to was Marvel's Eternals.
Oh, sure.
You know, like, what is this and why does it have a, like, and not that, and they're, I know they're different properties, but when you look at it on paper, you're like, the average moviegoer didn't understand what Eternals was. We saw what happened over there and you're pitching me this, which to me seems like the Eternals, right? So I don't know.
Yeah, and I think James Gunn, he likes to deal with these really obscure characters and stuff a lot, but I think maybe he might be seeing that, like, if he does a movie like Superman, then he can introduce a character like Metamorpho that most people don't know about. And maybe, like, through, like, these big name, again, like, household name sort of characters, that's how he can introduce, like, his weird, like, Metamorphos or Polka Dot Mans or, you know, whatever else. So I think that might be the way that that might be the route to take with his obscure little Easter eggs he likes to bring in. So,
yeah. All right. Andrew Staton from Disney says Toy Story 6 and 7 are both possible.
Great.
Your reaction to this was my reaction to this. I haven't seen Toy Story 5, and not that I need to see Toy Story 5, but they ended it at the end of Toy Story 3, and it was perfect. And here we are going, oh, okay. You know, so...
it makes me wonder if Disney has I feel like Disney lately has just been struggling about, like, when knowing when to hold back and, like, keep the audience wanting more, you know, like you can see that with like how the MCU's been after Endgame, and even like some of the Star Wars sequel trilogy stuff. Like sometimes you need to hold back, get the fan base wanting, you know, begging for more, and then release a little bit just to like, you know, get everybody, you know, keep the hype up. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, he said there would be two movies worth of Toy Story material to explore next. Maybe not with Bonnie, but a different character as a focal point. So we grew up with Andy, we grew up with Bonnie, now we gotta essentially grow up with another character, and you know, we're already doing the digital world, right?
Right.
Where Toy Story 5 is gonna introduce the digital world. So if the idea is that the toys are gonna be abandoned, what does that mean? Right?
Right.
That's the whole point, right? So it's I don't know how this sits with me, but we'll see when we get a little closer.
Yeah, are they going to be tackling, you know, VR next, and then AI, and like, where are we going to go with this? But
absolutely. Nonetheless, this one's really interesting. Django, as in,
like Django and Chained.
Django and Chained. Yeah, they are doing a Django Zorro crossover movie.
Cool.
Now Zorro, he's got a mask and a hat and a sword and a whip and rides a horse with a cape, you know what I mean? That Zorro. Yeah, so Django and Zorro crossover team up. Tarantino will not be involved, but has given the story, or has given Sony his blessing to develop it.
Okay.
So I have a feeling they pitched it to him and he's like, "Yeah, that sounds fun. Go ahead." You know. So
it sounds like something I'd love to see Tarantino do. So since he's not doing it, I hope they have a really good like writer/director in place. But either way, I mean, it seems pretty exciting, you know? I just think Tarantino doing like a Zorro movie just sounds awesome, but I guess we'll have to wait on that. So
I know. All right, here we go. This is interesting. And I don't really know how to feel about this because I'm concerned with, so Masters of the Universe is not dropped yet, right? I am very excited to see that it's forthcoming. I'm kind of keeping an eye on the theaters, like when are tickets available so I can lock that in. And I question the, like, what's the wrong lesson that Hollywood's going to learn from this? You see a lot of that where you're like a movie release and then Hollywood's like, oh, people like that. We need more of this.
Yeah.
So they like start grabbing all the properties that are similar. Right. Well, a Thundercats movie is in development for live action.
I mean,
I mean, as a fan, as a kid who grew up with Thundercats and tune in, I'm not going to not want to see that. But I'm also like, I mean, I'm with you with the way you said that. I don't know what your thoughts are, but
I think I was kind of thinking if there's ever a time to do it, they might as well do it now because like technology wise with CGI and stuff, I feel like we're at a place where they could do justice to the Thundercats. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. In a weird way, I almost feel like people might get more excited for a live action Thundercats. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's just been a while since like Masters of the Universe. But I might be wrong I don't know. Like, I almost feel like
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm more like because of the juggernaut that was He-Man. That's why I made my like, really? But I got you. Okay.
I don't know. I think it's like been a while since we've had a Thundercats adaptation. So I feel like people might get really hyped about it, but I could be wrong there. The thing is with Thundercats, you have to remember they're cat people, and it's going to be harder to translate to live action than I think they might realize. So like they're going to have to make these, you know, they're going to have somebody cast as Lion-O, and he's going to have to be this big lion man. They're going to have to make this in live action, and they're going to have to do it in a way that you can take the character seriously. And I think it might be a bit of a challenge just because, again, they're like cat people, and I think there is a challenge there. But either way, I think this could be really, really awesome if they do it well. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
we'll wait and see, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Let's see here. Here we go. There is an official Sword Art Online movie set for 2027. We knew one was coming because they said that they were having a movie tie into the new game that's coming, which sounds great. But it's kind of nice to know that we're getting it in 2027. This July 2026 is when they're going to release all the information about it, probably title, where it takes place, maybe some story stuff. But all the information officially set for July 2026, and then 2027 is when we actually get the movie. So, you and I have been talking about how we should probably try and see an anime film in the theater because of how, like, just because, like, it's starting to become a cultural staple to see anime films in theaters, right? With the people who dress up in cosplay and stuff like that. So just going for the experience alone sounds like a great idea. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this would be a great one that we should go see together. I've just heard, like, I've never seen one of these big anime films in theaters. I know that, like, in 2025, I know there was a really big Chainsaw Man as well as a Demon Slayer movie that came out. And from what I've heard, it's just like the people who come out of the woodwork, they're all like the hardcore fans. So it's almost on the level of like that Star Wars, like midnight showing sort of crowd, where it's just going to be everybody who's there to just be obsessed with Sword Art Online. And when you hear, like, you know, when you hear that, that opening theme song, like hinted in the background of the music, I imagine people are going to go nuts for that sort of thing. And so I think this could be a really fun thing to do. And unfortunately, we still have like a year to wait for it. But I think this would be a great one for, you know, the top five report to attend and kind of give a review when we get the chance to, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I say our butts will be in a seat for it, and we'll do our best to get there once we get some more info.
Absolutely.
All right. This next one is a little spoilery. Because it's about Spider-Man Brand New Day, but there was one piece of this story that I found to be actually important information that I think I'm glad I found out before the movie releases. So you tell me if you want me to read this or not. It's a couple bullet points, kind of like the last time we got some bullet points about the movie. I just kind of read them and I said I felt like there were a lot of common sense. These are a little more specific, so you tell me what you think. Regardless, I'll tell you the one that I'm glad they gave us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine. I'm not too worried about spoilers. But again, this is a good warning for anybody listening. But yeah, you can read off whatever.
All right, this is a spoiler warning. So jump ahead a few seconds or maybe a minute or two if you want. Peter, give me your reactions. What do you think? So here we go. Bullet point number one. Peter has a new AI assistant named EV. E period V period. So it's an acronym for sure. I don't know what that we'll find. I guess we'll find out when we see it. She is sadly the closest thing Peter has to a friend.
fun stuff.
So clearly he's got some AI in his suit, clearly inspired by Tony Stark with, you know, Jarvis and Friday and stuff. Bullet point number two, no more Stark gadgets. All the tech needs to have been made by Peter. So that's kind of cool. So that means any web shooters, any tech in it, that kind of stuff, that'll all be made by him.
Yeah, I like that, definitely.
Yeah, that was one of my frustrations. I'm like, it's like when they put Spider-Man in the MCU, they made him the Iron Spider right out the gate. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, absolutely. I always liked the more like self-made superhero aspect of Spider-Man. So this is pretty exciting.
Bullet point number three, new suit is inspired by meeting Toby and Andrew's Spider-Man variants. Real fabric, seams, wrinkles. So I'm really kind of curious, and that's the thing I'm kind of curious about the most, is where are the Easter eggs in the suit that are like, oh, that's clearly inspired by Toby Maguire's suit versus Andrew Garfield's suit versus Tom Holland, what he got from Tony Stark and that kind of thing. So.
Yeah, that's a good call. That's it might be hard to notice all those, but I do like that approach, you know, after doing No Way Home, like now you can take inspiration from both of those suits and make something new. So that's going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah. And now here is the last bullet point, and this is the one that I think is the most important, and I'm really glad they're telling us prior to me going to see the movie, is that it takes place 9 months after the last movie.
Sure.
And I say that because we're within the year, right? That's the part, you know, we're within a year from the events of the last Spider-Man film. So we kind of have a ballpark idea. So if they make a reference to another piece of Marvel within the other phases or a film or a television show, we kind of have an idea of where things fall into place now, which that'll be great mental dialogue cues to understand. Oh, right. It takes place before this, but after this and, you know, so.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I also feel like they're kind of with these Tom Holland Spider-Man movies, it seems like they're all going to kind of cohesively, I don't know, like the timeline between them is seeming to like cohesively fit together pretty well. Like, I kind of like how closely knit this movie is with the previous film. I think it's going to be a cool like watching experience to watch them all through, you know, without maybe having to delve super deep into the other MCU films outside of like the whole like blip aspects that you'll have to keep in mind as far as like Endgame goes and stuff like that. But yeah. I do think it's going to be, I think the movies seem to be fitting together pretty well, like pretty cohesively, and that's pretty exciting as well. So
yeah. All right. This is the last story for tonight, and this is the one that quite literally broke the internet. And I say that in the sense that if you don't follow the same stuff I follow, you're not seeing the same stories that I see. Now, Peter even said when we got online, I said, there's a ton of news. He's like, wow, I don't think I really saw anything of note. And I'm like laying you down with all these things. So clearly we look at different things on the internet.
Well,
when I say broke the, oh, go ahead, defend yourself.
No, there's to be fair, there's a couple stories that I did know about that you mentioned, but I guess like, you know, the Scooby-Doo photo and stuff wasn't at the top of my mind when you said that. But yeah, what what's this big one you got going?
So when I say broke the internet, I opened up Twitter and I was like, oh, sweet, that's awesome. And I like kind of screenshotted it so we could talk about it. And then I started scrolling a little bit and it was like thread after thread after thread after thread. Everyone was talking about the same thing. I was like, that's crazy. I didn't think this would be huge news. And then I jumped over to like Instagram and I just was checking. I'm like, why is everyone talking about this? Like everyone is talking about this. Here is the story. We are getting a live action Casper and the Friendly Ghost television series for Disney Plus.
Right.
And they said the series will have a dark, edgy tone similar to Wednesday. Cool. Right. The shock I have is, why is everyone blowing up over a Casper television show? I'm not 100% sure. I'm not saying that it's a bad idea. I am thinking to myself, in the realm of technology, why is it taking so long to get to a Casper television show? But, you know, there we go. Any thoughts on this?
Well, this is another story. Like, I totally saw this. I don't think I saw it to the level of I thought it broke the internet, but this did stumble across my feed. But I mean, it doesn't seem like a bad idea. And I think what we're dealing with is, and Drew, you're like a little bit older than me. So I don't know if I remember that first Casper.
I saw the movie in the theater, dude.
I know. Yeah. But how old were you when it came out? I think is kind of what I was getting at.
You talk and I'll Google and find out when the movie came out.
Well, cause that's all I was thinking of. Cause I was thinking of like, people my age and younger, I feel like Casper, like the first live action Casper movie with like Christina Ricci and Bill Pullman and everybody. Sure. That was such a big part of our childhood. Like that's like one of like the defining Halloween movies from like, you know, the first half of my life. So like I can totally see why people were blowing up about this. For all some right. reason on my feed, I didn't see that much of a discussion. It seems cool, but I imagine there was a lot of people arguing that Disney is going to ruin this somehow, which tends to be the discourse.
General consensus
around these
lately,
sort of
right?
things. Yeah, absolutely.
how about I put it this way? The movie came out in 1995. And I saw it in the theater. That means I was 15 when I saw the movie. And to put it into perspective, yeah. Christina Ricci plays the main character. Christina Ricci and I are the same age.
And that's, so and that's that? Fair. Well, I think the difference is like, so I would have been 9 years old. And I mean, for me and like a lot of my friend group, like a lot of people I know, this is like something that to this day we like still watch every Halloween and like everybody has fond memories of and stuff. And I'm not saying that like, Drew, I'm not saying you didn't like the movie. I think I'm just saying like,
yeah,
to me, like knowing how big of a impact this movie had on people like my age, I can totally see why there's such a big discussion about this online is really all I was saying. So is the feedback on this like generally negative or positive, or like what are you seeing people say about this?
I wasn't really seeing it wasn't really a split of negativity versus positivity. I think people were genuinely like, cool, we get Casper television show, you know what I mean? But I was just really surprised at the amount of people bringing it up.
Yeah.
And you're just like IGN makes a post, for example, and then you're like comic book resources and comic, you know, it's just the amount of news outlets. I'm like, what is going on? Like the way they were making a big deal out of it. I was like, really? All right.
It almost reminds me of when Mindy Kaling had her Velma show that came out, and so many people were just losing their crap online about this animated Velma show and like how they're ruining the legacy of Scooby-Doo and stuff. And I saw somebody have a post like, where did all these Scooby-Doo fans come from? Like, I didn't think that many people cared. And then it was just like that post got ratioed so much. Like, what are you talking about? Scooby-Doo has been peak, you know, kids horror entertainment for years. What is your problem?
Peak
sort of thing.
Kids
so.
Horror.
Yep. <That's>, and Casper that fits into that as well. So
that should be the title of the episode. Peak Kids Horror.
Absolutely.
But yeah. But anyway, that kind of brings us to the end of the news. So would you like to talk about tonight's list?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Cool. All right, man. We're going to talk about tonight's list, but first we're going to take a quick break. So we'll be right back.
And now for the top five.
Everyone, Drew here. Long story short, Peter and I experienced some very bizarre technical difficulties in this last episode, and for some reason, the audio in which our top five list was recorded is lost. I'm not entirely sure what happened. Peter and I are really bummed. In the 7 years doing this, we're surprised that something like this hasn't happened before, but I feel like every podcast has a story of a lost episode. That being said, Peter and I are planning on making it up to you and re-recording that top five list. So we will be having that conversation again. But we appreciate you coming back and listening, and we appreciate you guys coming back next week. So next week might be a double list. We're not entirely sure what the plan is. We will see. But we'll keep you posted. But for right now, know that the list, where we were talking about movies that we give second opinions to, that's what it was, five movies that required our opinions changed after our further viewings. We will be talking about that. We will get you guys that list. So that being said, enjoy. We appreciate you guys listening. Thanks, and we'll see you next week.